ran up on the hill about 12 o'clock. Reached right back and got me a poke. Went to the hard one, got me a hook. Placed that line right on that hook. Said, you've been fishing all the time. I'm a-going to fish you too. I bet your life, your loving wife, catch more fish than you. Any fish bite, got good bait. Here's a little something I've let you lay. Any fish bite, got good bait. I'm a-going to fish you. Yes, I'm going to fish you. I'm a-going to fish you too.
This is the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad.
Hello, all you fisher people, and welcome again to Why Fish Radio. Why Fish Radio is brought to you by Today's Tackle, home of the Ice Buster Bobber and the Rod Rocker 2. It's also brought to you by Cats on the Red of Lockport, Manitoba, and Trophy Cat Adventures. Well, folks, I'm solo again this week, but it's for good reason. The good reason is because I'm on location at Devil's Lake with Mr. Ice Fishing himself, Dave Gens. Dave, welcome to Why Fish Radio.
Thanks, Brad. You know, it's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you. Dave, we've been visiting a little before we turned on to go to hard drive here, and you know, I want to touch on something that you probably don't get to talk about a whole lot in the business of ice fishing. How did you get started and come to be Mr. Ice Fishing, Dave Gens?
Well, my father was a road construction worker when I grew up. I was the baby of the family. My brothers and sisters are 10 years or more older than I am. So when I grew up, he didn't work in the wintertime. So he went ice fishing every day. He used to leave noon one day and come home noon the next. So, you know, how could mom get mad? He's home every day.
Now, when you were starting out ice fishing, and I don't want to offend you and age you in any possible way, but you didn't have the electronics and the fancy houses and everything that we have today. What was basically set up when you were growing up and getting started in ice fishing?
Well, you know, the beginning was a stick with a point on the end of it and a couple pegs and black line wrapped around it. And, our depth finder, you know, was a lead weight with a clip on the end of it that you clipped on and set your bobber at about a foot off the bottom.
And when you were learning structure, did you have a lake map to go with, or did you just drill a lot of holes and drop that lead depth finder down and kind of go from there and to figure out your bodies of water? Did you just kind of poke a hole and hope to catch a fish?
Yeah, well, drilling would have been the good thing. We had a chisel. There was no drills yet then. So, lake maps weren't that popular back then. You know, I grew up starting my career on fishing Mille Lacs Lake there in central Minnesota. Spent a lot of time off Indian Point, you know, a lot of rocks around there. And it was kind of interesting that in the morning we'd get there before daylight, we'd put our minnows down and we'd catch a few fish. As it's getting light, the bobbers would go down. But then by the time 9 o'clock come, it would get pretty quiet in the walleye world. And my dad would have me take the jiggle stick back then, the little, you know, fiberglass rod with a little metal reel on it with some, you know, mono on it. And we used a hook called a Russian hook. It was about the only one. And he'd have me jigging throughout the day. Everybody else would just kind of start playing cards and wait for evening to come. But because he taught me to spend the day jigging, you know, we caught tulipy, we caught perch, we caught walleye, we caught eelpout throughout the day. And the other line that had the minnow on it, the bobber might bounce up and down a few times, but wouldn't go under.
When you were doing that, were you moving around trying different depths out as well? Or, you know, like today it's shallow morning rocks, moving the mud in the case of Mille Lacs. Were you moving around at all, or were you staying pretty much where you started?
Pretty much where we started, in, because of the fact we were chopping holes. But there were times that my mom would come along and another couple, we had a big house then too, and they'd sit in the house and play cards all day, and you know, myself being bored to death in there, I'd go out and I ended up chopping holes. I'd chop a hole, you know, on one side of the house, and you know, I'd probably catch a fish in that hole, but you know, I'd be on the other side of the house and chop another hole. And you know, that's kind of what's kind of taught me about mobility, is because they didn't catch anything in the house, and because I was outside moving around, I learned I could catch fish during the daytime.
How old were you when you got that first power auger where you could really be mobile?
Well, the first auger was actually a spoon auger. There was a 6-inch spoon auger and an 8-inch spoon auger. Well, there was nobody big enough to turn them 8-inch spoon augers by hand. You know, so we started with that 6-inch spoon, and that was the first auger. And it's amazing how many big fish we caught in that 6-inch hole. Now we think we got to have a 10-inch if we're going to catch a big fish.
Well, so it has come a long way. But let's move ahead to the future. I mean, it's just always fun to hear how the professionals got started in life. And, you know, you obviously had a humble beginning. Let's move up to where you decided to make fishing a career. And where has that kind of taken you since to get to present day?
Well, when I decided I was going to try to make my living in the fishing industry, I was watching one of Al Linder's first shows, and he was guiding an old Southern guide, or I shouldn't say he was guiding, he was being guided by an old Southern guy. I believe his name was Gadabout Gaddis. And Al looked at him and he said, I asked him when he was going to retire. And he looked back at Al and he says, Al, I'm not doing anything I care to retire from. And at that time, I decided I was going to make my living in the fishing industry. And, you know, I tried to do it in the summer market and, you know, a lot of competition there. And suddenly I realized what I knew more about than most was ice fishing and this little fish trap fish house that flips up over the top of you. And, you know, we started building them, and, you know, my wife sold them on the home sewing machine. She sold 5 the first time, 20 the next time, 80 the next year, and she said, I'm not sewing any more of them.
So obviously you found the niche in the business terms, and tell me a little bit about being on the road for a professional ice fisherman, some of the people you meet. I'm assuming the people you meet also love to fish, so there's generally a lot of nice people out there and a lot of great places that you've been or always go.
Yeah, it's amazing traveling across the country how there's these little oases, just like here at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. It's you know, all flat farmland around here, but you come to Devil's Lake and here's trees and this big lake. And you know, there's other places like that, like Spirit Lake, Iowa, Brooklyn, Michigan, you know, just to name a few. You know, Madison Lake or Madison, Wisconsin, that area. And you get to them areas, and you know, that's where the fishermen are. And what's been fun is traveling to these other areas and meeting these fishermen and discover they fish a little bit different than what we do or what I did. And, you know, so, you know, learn the Michigan techniques and learn the Illinois techniques and New York and, you know, well, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota. And now with Ice Team and the tournament circuit we're having, we've actually putting all these different techniques together, and we're all learning and becoming better ice anglers.
And I think that's the name of the game. And you would probably agree with me, and I'm sure you've said it at some time or another, if you can't learn anything new, then you're pretty much done, aren't you?
Yes. You know, I really like these tournaments, and that's why we're here at Devil's Lake for the Super Trap Attack here. And, you know, being one of the observers during this tournament, I get to go out and watch these guys fish. You know, and they're trying their best stuff at this moment because they're trying to, you know, trying to win the trophy and the check, you know, and just to be able to observe how they're doing it, you can't help but learn.
Well, and I find that to be one of the more useful things, even visiting in the bait shop, as you always read in different articles, but going out on the ice and watching, that must be a huge advantage because you probably do pick something up. I want to go on to, since I've got the expert in ice fishing, I want to ask you a couple of questions about somebody who might want to get into ice fishing. Never done it before and wants to try it, learn, maybe take their kids out for the first time. How would you get them started?
Well, you know, probably the first thing you have to do is you got to get a hole in that ice, you know, so to get a good hand auger. You know, you're not going to step up to a power auger right away because there's a cost there. But to buy a 5 or 6 inch hand auger so it's easy to drill them holes. A lot of times I see new guys, they buy this 8-inch hand auger, and now it's way too much work to drill the holes, and you're lucky if you get, you know, one for each person drilled. So get a small hand auger to start with, you know, an ice scoop. You know, the inexpensive ice rods, but make sure you get new line on them. A lot of times these inexpensive ice rods got old line on them, and they're coily, you know, so, you know, get some new. You know, 4-pound test would be probably a good choice, but spool it up just before you go on there, put that new line on.
Okay, folks, we had a little hiccup there, but life is good. You know, technology some days just isn't all it's cracked up to be, Dave. You were talking about poor line on the rod for someone getting started. Can you kind of take off there?
Well, you know, to get that new line on there and get a balance, you know, get the lure that you're using to balance with the bobber that is on the line, you know, and I said bobber. Now, you know, as you advance on, you're going to buy better rods that probably don't have a bobber on them. But to start with, that's a good way to go. You know, a lead weight. You know, they call them depth finders. They're just got a clip on them and a lead weight, so you can drop it down to the bottom. Set that bobber to about a foot off the bottom is always a good place to start, and you know, get yourself some, you know, some bait. You know, if you're just starting out, I'd go fish for panfish is what I would fish for. And, you know, some wax worms, some Euro larva or spikes, and, you know, and go where the crowds are. Yeah, I mean, that's a good place to start. You know, after you kind of get used to catching a fish, then you get your lake map and look for your own spots. But to start with, you know, there's usually some fish around where the people are.
Well, that's always a good way to start. And then, as we both know, once you get the bug to bite you, or in this case, the fish to bite the end of the line, then comes the more advanced stuff, the more power augers and the Vexilars and the fun toys that really do help us out and catch more fish.
Well, there's a lot of people that do fish in the summertime and have never ice fished. And so a lot of times they own a depth finder already, something that they have on their boat. You can actually take that and out on the ice with them. And, you know, they kind of know they've got a good quality graphite rod in the summertime, or just a graphite rod. And a graphite rod is better in the winter also. But, and you got to think more like it's summer. You don't go out in the summer and throw your anchor out and stay in that same place all day. So, you know, and you usually have a lake map with you, you know, so to, you know, start fishing the structure that's out there. I said, if you're fishing by the people, you know, start fishing the edges of the people instead of in the middle of them. Or if you see some people and there's a spot in the middle where nobody's fishing, that's where I'm going to pick. I'm not going to go next to somebody else. But you look at the lake map and you can tell which way the fish could be from where the people are.
That's exactly true, and folks have got to actually try some of that logic over the years of staying on the edge of the crowd and working just enough away that they might actually scare the fish to me. Dave, I so much appreciate you joining us here on Why Fish. I hope to have you on the air again. Is there anything else you'd like to add, well, before we sign off for the week?
Well, I certainly appreciate being on. I always love, you know, talking about ice fishing. Well, go to iceteam.com. Some great website on the ice team, and also davegens.com. I've got a new DVD out on how to catch bluegills through the ice, and it's a lot about how to locate them, and that can help anyone to catch more fish.
That sounds like good stuff. I'll put that in the show description, link that for you, and folks, check those websites out. Don't forget some other websites to check out. Todaystackle.com for everything that you might need ice fishing, and for that matter, summer fishing. Book your summer trips with Ken Hollins at Trophy Cat Adventures. And don't forget Lockport, Manitoba. Dave, in fact, we'll stop there for a second. You got to go to Lockport this past summer. How'd you fare up there?
Well, it was the best cat fishing that I've ever experienced there with cats on the red. It, you know, if you've never caught a big fish in your life, that is the place to go catch one.
So there you have it, folks. If we keep preaching on it and you don't believe us, believe Mr. Ice Fishing, Dave Gens. But for Brad, once again, keep your hook in the water, your line tight, and most of all, keep it fun.
You have been listening to the Why Fish Radio Podcast with your hosts, Brad and Brad. For more information, log on to our website at why-fish.com.